All right, we've got a great episode of Side Retired coming at you guys today. For all our loyal listeners, this is going to be a familiar voice on the podcast today. So, Henry, let's hit the intro music and get right into this. Hello and welcome to today's edition of Side Retired. It is Friday, March 29th, and baseball season is upon us. Your favorite baseball team, unless you're a Mets fan, is probably 1-0, 0-1, thinking they're going to go undefeated or not win a single baseball game this year. But Henry, before we introduce our guest, we're extremely excited to welcome back onto the podcast. How you doing?
Oh, I mean, it's like when you have a first day of school fit all picked out. I've got the jersey. Yeah, I have the Yankees shirt. I have my entire fit picked out, and this is it. This is 28. We got it. This is our year. I'm so convinced. I'm not actually, but you know, we'll see.
And of course, today I am
I like
out
that attitude.
I know. I love that attitude. But today we're joined by John Boy Media's Max Manis. He's been on the podcast. It was actually almost a year ago to the date, celebrating opening day last year, and here we are again, 2024. Max, thanks so much for hopping on again with us today.
Yeah, what's up, guys? Thank you for having me. It's been very cool to me to see how, like, I was, like, the OG John Boy guy on here, and you guys have gotten to the point where you're having, like, the higher-ups at the company come on and talk about, like, the business. You had my manager, Taylor, come on. You had Courtney come on. You had Sarah come on. So, like, you guys are really – oh, Jolly, too, right? Jolly came on. So, like, you guys are covering all the bases. You guys are hitting, like, every department at the company. So it's been very cool to see your guys' success.
Everyone over there is so much fun and just hearing all about the company. And obviously it started with you giving a glowing review and it's just snowballed since then. But obviously it's been a hell of a year, both at John Boy as well as with the New York Yankees since you were last coming on. So if you want to update our audience, how's life?
Yeah, life is good. Thank God. It's been, I mean, I wouldn't say that all's been good with the Yankees since we last joined. The Yankees in 82-80 season since I last came on your guys' show. So that wasn't a lot of fun. But they added Juan Soto, so that helps make up for it. And yeah, you know, still grinding away at John Boy, you know, social media team helping out with research, video editing, you know, graphics, like, you know, still, we're still in many ways kind of like a startup company. So we're still kind of just, you know, grabbing tasks and, you know, oh, if you can help out over here, by all means. So it's an awesome environment to work in. And yeah, like I said, it's been very cool seeing how you guys have become like known within the John Boy media walls. It's like, oh yeah, the Side Retired guys. So yeah.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I mean, I'll just sort of kick it off by, like, you briefly talked about how it was a rough season last year, rough season for the Yanks. But
yeah,
there's more optimism this year. I feel like going into the season last year, there was even on John Boy Productions, right? There was sort of like a hint of, oh, we really have no idea what this roster can or can't do. It turns out they couldn't do much. So like how are you feeling about the roster? Obviously there's been some bad news about Cole, and I'm still not 100% convinced that Judge is a walking picture of health right now. So what are your just like initial thoughts like going into, all right, we got game one?
Yeah, I will say with the whole Cole saga, like if you ask like BBD or Taylor or like Jolly, anyone at the company about like the day that the Cole news happened, I think there was like a somber vibe in the office in general, but I in particular, that happened, what, the news broke at like 10 or 11 a.m. on a Monday, yeah, or whatever. And I just immediately walked out and people were like, you look like you've seen a ghost. And I was like, yeah, like pretty much like this is like that. I was genuine. I remember saying at the time, I was like, this is worse news than Judge being out half the year, Soto being out half the year. Like with like, if Cole is actually out for the whole season, there is no replacement for that out there. Like the rotation, the 2 through 5 of the rotation is all guys you could like talk yourself into. But if that suddenly becomes the 1 through 4, it's like, whoa, we could be in for a really scary one over here. But then when that settled down and we heard like, okay, 2 months, it almost like that was like amazing news at that point. I was like doing like somersaults after that came out. That was like the best news imaginable. And then after that, it took some time to still be like, all right, all that considered, like that's still bad news. Like we're still not celebrating that he's out once 2 months. Like that is still bad. I think Listen, like it's going to be interesting to see that like they have some adversity, like really on, like you said, that it's like suddenly like Carlos Rodon has like the biggest April of any Yankee in a really long time, I think, like that I can remember. Like even Gallo and guys like that that had like a chip on their shoulder, there weren't a lot of guys that it was like April can make or break a year. If it's May 1st and we're looking at Baseball Reference and Rodon's ERA is in the sixes or the sevens like it was last year, we like fans are like.
It's the pan. No,
I don't
it's
even want,
beyond
I
the
don't even
panic
want to
button.
get into that headspace. Yeah. So yeah, it's like scary how big April 4 is for him. Genuinely, like I'm more scared than I am excited. But all things considered, I think, especially with the John Birdie trade today, it was like, all right, like we have like a really solid bench. When DJ gets back too, especially, we'll be like, all right, like we have a lineup of nine guys that we can run out there. Obviously, Soto's a game changer, but also like Verdugo and Grisham, like the Yankees needed MLB outfielders that were running out. Like IKF had never played left field before, and he was playing left field last year. We had like Billy McKinney was saving the season in July. Like the guys who were running out there last season was like the most valuable franchise in American sports should not be running these guys out there. And now it's like, all right, when we got three lefty MLB bat outfielders that can really separate the lineup, and you really hope that that helps Volpe take a step forward. All these guys are in walk years, Glaber, Rizzo, Soto, like there's like a whole laundry list of guys that are in their walk years. So I'm hoping that we can take a step back and be like, oh, it's nice that like the seven hitter isn't going to be an automatic out this year.
Well, I'd first off like to say thank you very much for taking John Birdie. I'm sure Jolly has told you this already. He killed the Mets. He crushes the Mets out of nowhere. So good for us out
I
of the
heard.
division. But sort of what is your take on the offense? Because obviously we've already seen Judge isn't very healthy. DJ is starting the year on the injured list. Rizzo looked healthy during spring, but obviously concussions from last year. Walk year Glaber, as you mentioned. Is this the offensive unit that you're like, all right, I like it. We're good. We didn't make a need to make another addition, or did you wish there was one more piece?
I mean, they did make like they made enough additions that like I don't think that even the most pessimistic Yankees fan out there could be like, oh man, they only got Soto, Verdugo, and Grisham. Like, you know, like sure, like could you make the argument that it's like, sure, they could have still gone and gotten another piece, sure. But I feel like if you ask most Yankees fans, I think most fans would have said that they could have used another pitcher before another hitter based on where we're at right now. Rizzo's an interesting one. Like you'd like to be able to kind of just totally wipe it and be like, all right, listen, he had concussions. Like, he literally, you know, if you're a major league hitter and you have to see 100 mile an hour pitches with crazy movement and stuff like that, like having delayed response time is not going to make that the easiest thing in the world. And it was because the splits were so like the contrast was crazy with Rizzo that it was like up until then he had like an OPS in like the high eights, the nines, whatever it was. And then he was like literally the worst hitter in Major League Baseball, had the worst stretch of his career for like 2 months. And it was like, hey, wonder what's going on with, you know, his head got bumped. That's not good. And then 2 months later, it's like, yep, he has a concussion. And all the Yankees fans were like, yeah, we know.
We knew it.
We're not supposed to know this before you guys. That's not how this is supposed to work. So you'd like to be able to kind of just wipe the clean slate with that. Like, I think Jake was saying, he was like, if Rizzo has a good first week, I think all Yankees fans are like, all right, rear view mirror. Like, we're good. DJ is, I think Rodon is probably the most important single player to the success of the 2024 Yankees, just because you need, like, that rotation needs, like, a firm number two, and they paid him to be that because he has been that in the past. The lineup, I think, there's a good chance that the lineup goes as far as DJ and Stanton are going to take them because you hope Rizzo is going to be Rizzo. Judge and Soto, when they're out there, you know what those guys are. If you can roll out a top four of DJ, Soto, Judge, and then Stanton, Rizzo, however you want to do it, that's a top four. If they're all clicking that, like, I'll take those four against any top four in baseball. So we shall see. But I feel good about it, and I don't think it's just blind opening day optimism, but there is a little bit of that.
I must say, I was down in Florida when Giancarlo, like, I was just like sitting with my dad and we were watching the Yankee game, and when Giancarlo hit three home runs, and I looked at him and I was like, well, I'm kind of scared now that he's just not gonna hit in April, because we've seen him do it. We're like he does this, and then I don't hit, but like I don't know, I feel like I completely agree that like that Stanton is. We were talking about this on an episode or two ago, that Stanton, if he can just like bump that average up and give us 30 bombs and like a close to 100 RBIs, that's like a Yankee fan's be like perfect scenario, because that fits so well into what this offense is building around.
Yeah, dude, like I mean, that would be like he would be getting MVP votes if he had that kind of season. But like, dude, at this point, sign me up for like 130 games and like a 120 OPS, 125 OPS plus. Like, just don't be a black hole in the middle of the order. And
Just don't be
like,
horrible.
yeah, I'll tell you. So that you're talking about that the three homer spring training game that he had. That I was working that game for socials, and that game was like such a headache to cover because it was like there were like six massive things that happened in the first like 20 minutes of that game. The first two homers that he hit that game were absolutely smoked, like 450. Like you heard the crack of the bat from New York, and it was like, whoa, that's Giancarlo Stanton. But the third one was honestly the one that got me most excited because it was a pitch like really down in the zone that he just like went down and got and barreled up and just smoked it out of there. And that was the one that I was like, all right, if Stanton is hitting baseballs 450 and is going down to get those pitches low, like we're in business. And again, it's spring training. It was like Marco Gonzalez on a Wednesday night in March. We all know that. But every single Yankees fan that was watching that game, that was, you know, enough of a sicko to be watching a Wednesday night spring training game against the Pirates, I like watched that and was like, if we can get 70% of that in the season and Rizzo comes back enough and DJ is what he was in the second half, like if you're lucky enough that you can hit on all three of those, like Judge and Soto are sure things at this point. I will go on the record right now and say that like we're not going to get like a 700 OPS season from one of those guys. Like those two guys are going to be superstars. Like that's how they are. That's how they work. So if you can have a top five of guys that are all getting like all-star votes, we're cooking. We're like really cooking.
I think another one of the interesting things that happened this offseason is that crosstown, a lot of your former heroes got stolen, whether that's Luis Severino, whether that's Harrison Bader, whether that's Carlos Mendoza, a couple other guys as well, on sort of like a minor type deal. What are your thoughts? And is Luis Severino back? Because I don't know. I assume you've seen. He's kind of been dealing in spring training with a 1.6 ERA and 14 innings pitched. There's the rumor that he was tipping pitches
Dylan,
all last year.
what did I say?
Thoughts?
I called it.
I more than anyone else would love for Luis Severino to be back. Like it made me genuinely sad the way his like Yankees tenure ended. Like I was putting out tweets that were just like, hey, like I'm sad about this. It makes me sad that like this guy was like supposed to be our like superstar ace, and now he's like getting booed off the mound at the stadium, giving up six earned runs for the third straight start. And people were like mad at me for being like sad about it. And I was like, I don't know. Like he was like, it was like CC to him was the passing of the torch. CC to Cole. Like Seve was kind of like that middle. Like there was a period in there where Seve was like genuinely one of the best pitchers in the American League, and we were like, wow, like we have our first homegrown ace in a really long time. So if he could turn it back on, go have one good year with the Mets and get yourself a bag next offseason, I would be like thrilled for him. I can't say that I kept up with the spring training that closely, but I know the Mets fans were excited about it. When the Mets gave him that contract, I was genuinely surprised. I was like, I don't know that, what was it, like 1 year, 13, 14, it was something like that. I was like, the pitcher that we saw the second half of last year is like borderline lucky to be getting a big league deal. Like he had nothing in the tank at that point. There was a little bit of just like the Yankees were terrible as a whole, and the Yankees had over him, and he got hurt in his last start, and like everything was kind of gross. But I was genuinely like, I don't get how David Stearns, first time GM, obviously a very smart guy, and like Steve Cohen doesn't make dumb investments with his money. I was genuinely just like, I don't know how these guys put their heads together and said like, yeah, let's go get the guy that had like an 11 ERA in the second half of last year. I would genuinely love to be wrong. Like I hope I, for Luis Severino's sake, I hope I am wrong, because there's nothing that would make me happier than that man going out and like shoving for the Mets. The Mets don't have to win those games, but if he pitches well, I will be thrilled about that. So yeah, that's another one that it's like, I don't know, I guess we'll see. But I, as far as like former Yankees elsewhere in the big leagues that I'm pulling for, Sevy is on the short list of guys, and it's like I will actively tune into your games to see how you're doing.
I mean, moving to like more just general leagues, so Dylan and I were number 4 and 5 in the picks in our fantasy draft. And we were talking about beforehand, like, like who's coming off the board, like by the time we get there. So just blind ranking top five MLB players right now. Not even necessarily from a fantasy
Oof.
level, but just like, because I feel like you could you got 10 guys that you could put in your top five, but like who are you ranking
Yeah.
as your top five?
I feel like I'm gonna name five guys and then you're gonna be like, what about this guy? I'm gonna be like, oh crap, forgot about him. Are we counting,
That's
are we doing 2024 like a Shohei hitter and pitcher?
no, just a hitter. Just a hitter for 2024.
If Shohei's just a hitter, I don't know that he's top five, especially if he's not
I
playing the
think
field. I don't
that's
know if that's
fair.
like
I think that's
crazy to
fair.
say. I would put my top five in no particular order. I think Judge and Soto have to be there. Sorry, Yankees bias, but also like genuinely each of them have an argument as like the best right-handed left-handed hitter on the planet right now. Acuna, I don't know how you cannot have him there right now, based on just everything. Like there's not a thing that he does badly on a baseball field. It's like absurd. Like 40-70 is like that's like you're not supposed to put up a season like that. Like that's not a baseball player's supposed to. If you're stealing 70 bases, you're supposed to be like a light hitting shortstop who's literally
Yes.
just there to steal bases. You're not supposed to hit 40 homers if you steal 70 bags. The other two spots, I guess you could still go Ohtani for one of those. I would probably have Mookie. I think I was talking with people in the office and I was getting a little bit of crap for this take, but I was like, I think Mookie might still be underrated by a lot of baseball fans.
Yeah.
Like the guy is 60 WAR and he's 30 years old and he's
He's a
picking up
shortstop
shortstop
now.
on the
Yeah.
fly. Like that's video games. Like that's the kind of thing that it's like, I don't know, oh, I'm building the God Squad in my video game. I'll pick this guy to shortstop just to get his bat in the lineup. Hope it works. Like you're not supposed to be able to do that. I think that would be my pretty firm top four. And I don't know who's in the competition for the fifth spot. I guess Ohtani, like Yordan has an argument.
Freddie.
Jose Ramirez, Freddie's definitely up there. I think I would probably go. I would probably go Ohtani of that group, unless there's someone I'm forgetting. And like, listen, could we be having this conversation next year and a Bobby Witt is in that conversation? Alex Bregman has like cemented himself as being there. Like Arenado, Goldschmidt, Seager, like we could be sitting here and there could be like 20 guys that could be one massive year away from being in that conversation. Julio, like it's endless. But at this point, I would say I think there's a pretty clear top four of what do we say? Judge, Soto,
Soto,
Acuña, and
Mookie.
Betts. And then Shohei obviously is number one when he pitches and hits. But right now, I honestly don't know where I would go for that fifth spot right now. What do you guys think?
Well, I'm on the clock in an hour in that spot, so we'll see what ends up happening. I know
Okay. You
Henry's
better have an
excited.
answer.
Henry's excited that he's fourth because that means it's literally not even really a
I think I'm getting
decision.
Soto, and I'm ecstatic.
Listen, you're chilling on that in that spot.
I'm hoping it's someone jumps on Ohtani. That way, one of the star four. Because I agreed with you that Ohtani is just a hitter, not after he's there. Plus, there's the whole like he's gonna just eat up your DH spot the whole year because he can't play outfield or anything like that. But you know, I sneaky thought of Corbin Burns, but I could be crazy for taking a pitcher that early in a fantasy draft. But I don't know.
In the Jumbo Fantasy League yesterday. So who am I to say? But yeah.
Oh, I love it. Well, we had another thing that, again, when spring training was lolling on, we didn't know what content to make. And one of the other fake reality worlds that we threw out there was if you could add any player from the past to the 2024 roster, who would it be? And their answers ranged from, I know we had like Jim Palmer on the Orioles, and we tried to do like positional fits as well, and thinking that, like, oh, well, since they had Gunnar and Jackson Holliday, they don't need Cal Ripken, as weird as that sounds. That's the type of thing that we were going for in that scenario. So with the Yankees, we ended on Mariano Rivera, but that meant passing on a lot of really inner circle Hall of Famers. So we wanted to get your expert opinion.
I think the main knock on Mariano is just like reliever. It's just like he's not going to pitch in that game, which whatever, that's obviously not an argument for him not to be in the hall or anything like that. Honestly, recency bias, but I feel like the first two guys coming to mind for me for the Yankees are Jeter and A-Rod, as far as like, listen, I would love for Volpe to be awesome this year, but I've been kind of having a take of like, I don't think Yankees fans realize kind of this is like a pretty big make or break year for Volpe as far as like his career goes. Like if Volpe, I'm not a batting average guy. Listen, like I'm a stat. I'm enough of a nerd to know that you don't only look at batting average, but like he hit 209 last year. Like that still means something. If you're hitting 209, you better be hitting like a whole bunch of homers or whatever it is. And even that, like, I don't think that's what the Yankees want from Volpe. Like if
No.
Volpe could hit 270, but be walking, be stealing bases, like just contact bat at the bottom of the order, who then flips it over to that top four. That's like perfect. But I hope that's feasible. I think it probably is feasible. I don't know if it's gonna happen. And then DJ at third is also like has his own question marks. Like the second half was really good last year. You hope that the first half you can chalk up to injury or just baseball being weird, but like he hasn't played a single playoff game with the Yankees since he signed the 6-year deal that a lot of Yankees fans at the time were like, listen, I'm glad we brought back DJ, but 6 years, I don't know. And now we're 3 years into that. And again, he hasn't played a single playoff game. He's been hurt each year. So yeah, like pretty big year for both of those guys. So yeah, if you could pencil in a 3,000 hit, like you said, Inner Circle Hall of Famer, well, you know, steroids excluded for either one of those guys, I think that would probably be my answer.
Yeah, I mean, for me, at least for me, as like, I was the only championship I've been alive for is 2009. And with the Cole injury, give me CeCe, give me 2009 CeCe.
Okay. I was thinking starting pitcher. I wasn't sure which one to go with, but I was thinking starting pitcher.
But then like, I don't know. I also just miss the way he pitches, like, and just like his attitude. I honestly. We were talking about Rodon. I think Rodon could totally be that in the coming years. Just
Oh,
like
I like
turn
that.
it turn like, because you're not going to throw 98 forever. So hope back 2 years Rodon. If he just becomes CC Sabathia, I'm totally fine with that.
Yeah, I like that not even from like a pitching style take. I like that as
Oh
like a
yeah, no,
presence take, as like
yes, yeah,
the
exactly.
big lefty out there mowing dudes down and like cursing at them when they bunt on him. Like I would love for that to be what Rodon becomes for the like if Rodon is 70% of what CC was in his best year for the Yankees this year, like I said, we are good. Like
We're
that
good.
would Yankees had to do the biggest 180 imaginable on him. But yeah, I've always said that like I feel like I have a unique like relationship with CC because like obviously I love Jeter, I love Mo, I love all those guys, but I didn't feel like I started becoming a fan towards the end of when those guys were playing. CC went out 2019. Like I started really following the Yankees like 2010, 2011, which I just missed the window on 09, which is tough. But because of that, I kind of felt like I only really followed the latter end of like Jeter and Mo's careers. And like I was kind of there for like big CC mowing dudes down in
Oh yeah.
2009, 2010. And then I was there for his struggles on the field, off the field, everything. And when he came back and like reinvented himself. So when he retired, that was a kind of crazy moment for me as a baseball fan that I was like, wow, this is the first guy that I
That's
feel
your
like I've
guy,
like
yeah.
kind of watched his career and
Yeah.
like come to a close. So yeah, I will always have a soft spot in my heart for CC for that reason.
Absolutely.
Hall of Famer, because I know that was the same thing that happened to me this year, and that all of a sudden, when David Wright appeared on the ballot, I was like, wow, I'm actually old, and that I actually vividly remember all the guys that are getting on the ballot. I think CC's first year is next year, which will definitely be an interesting class. I know Ichiro is going to be the for sure 100%,
Yeah.
although don't count our friend of the podcast, Bill Ballew, out on not voting for him. I remember that conversation we had in January when he came on and gave us his reasoning why Adrian Beltre shouldn't be a Hall of Famer because he. What was the Henry? It was something like he wasn't as good as
I
Lou
remember
Williams. That
I
was.
almost got a stroke. It was because it was because he didn't like he wasn't like Ted Williams where you would like die before not seeing him. I was like, oh my God.
I don't know, man. You got 3,000 hits, you're in the Hall of Fame in my
Yeah,
book.
exactly.
Yeah. Well, I think Ichiro's in, but CC, we getting there? First ballot?
I mean, 3,000 strikeouts, 250 wins, lefty, like that's pretty short list as far as guys that have that those accolades. So I mean, listen, is there a little bit of bias there? Yeah, but I remember seeing even like the kind of the non-Yankees fans of the world when he got the 3,000 strikeouts, be like, all right, like case closed, he's in.
Absolutely. Well, we've come to the fun part of the episode where it's time to put our money where our mouth is. And the three of us will now go around and how do we think the boys in pinstripes are doing this year? Is it going to be a playoff year? Is it going to be 80 wins again? I had the bold prediction that came out on
Oh,
yesterday's episode, but I'll go last then. But Max, the floor is yours if you'd like to lead us off. How will the 2024 season go?
I say this every single year. If you're a baseball fan and you don't go into the season being like, we are winning the World Series this year, I don't know what you're doing being a baseball fan. Like, that is part of the ebbs and flows of the emotions of the sport, is that whatever, unless you're like a, Oakland A's fan or anything like that, you need to be a little bit objective and be like, all right, this crew of guys is probably not going too far. Especially like for a team that just added Soto, Stroman, Verdugo,
Yes.
John Birdie. I don't know how you could wake up on opening day and be like, yeah, you know what? We could really win the ALDS this year. Like, no, you that's not how being a baseball fan works. So that's my answer.
Henry.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not gonna lie, coming like these past couple weeks, I've been like, as long as we find a little success, I'm fine. And then tonight, I'm like, lock me in. We need to, but like, objectively, my like, what I'm happy with is we need to, at the very least, make the World Series simply to show Juan Soto how fun playoff New York is. That's
Oh
like
yeah. Oh
I
yeah.
want us to I want it like my official prediction that I put on the Saturday Tired is I think they make the World Series, but I don't know that they win. But my big goal is show Juan Soto how fun it is to play in the playoffs in New York. I'm going to say I think we win the World Series. I think we make it to the World Series at the very least. But that, like, from an objective, lock this guy down for the next 10 to like 12 years, like show him what it's like when even a guy like Greg Bird hits a home run in the World Series and everybody loses their minds and remembers it for like the next 10 years. Like, that's the type of place that you could be walking into.
Yeah, I'll add on to that. I mean, listen, I hope that everything goes perfectly for the Yankees to the point that they don't even need to add at the deadline because they
Of
haven't lost a
course.
game yet. But I really hope that the Yankees are not, if they're in a position to strike at the deadline. Listen, let's be rational for 1 second. Juan Soto's going to whoever gives him the most money. Like, he's a Boris client. That's how it works. But there is something. Okay,
That might
slow
be
down. 20
twenty
minutes.
million
Slow
dollars.
down.
That might be
Yeah,
$20 million going off of Boris. Like, we don't know.
Could be. But I hope that the Yankees, that like part of their calculus at the deadline this year is like, if they're in a position of like, should we buy, should we sell, or like, how heavily should we buy? I think that this is the year that it's like, listen, you have all these guys on walk years. You have Juan Soto here for 1 year. Like, go buy. Like, if Shane Bieber's out there, go get him. Like, Cease just went, but if he was out there, like, I was thinking for a while, I was like, if the White Sox don't trade Cease this offseason and then he has a good first half, like, the Yankees are not going to have an excuse to not get him at the deadline. Because even if this current rotation is like really clicking through the first half of the season, I don't think there's going to be a lot of Yankees fans in July that are going to be like, you know what? I don't think we need to add a pitcher. Like, that's not how Yankees fans work. So I really do hope that part of their calculus at the trade deadline is like, listen, we need to buy because we're the New York Yankees and that's how we do things. But also because, like, hey, let's show this guy that, like, the way we do things is like, if we're in a position to go take our team from here to here, we're not afraid to go do that.
Well, Henry,
Go
I know I've been saying that he's coming to the Mets, but I'll pull that conversation till the next time Max is on the show. I was surprisingly optimistic with the Yankees. I said that they're winning
You
20.
were.
I know when I said it on the podcast and it comes out on our opening day episode that the Yankees are winning the World Series this year, everyone's like, what? The Mets guy is saying that. I do buy it because the signing of the offseason, in my opinion, is Stroman. I know we haven't talked about him that much on the podcast yet, but a ground ball guy. He's going to go out there and throw six innings every single day. Obviously, I think if at the beginning of the offseason you were to tell Yankee fans that the pitching addition was Marcus Stroman, I think Yankee fans would have been a little crazy, both on the field and off the field, saying no shot that was going to happen. But here we are, same thing with Alex Verdugo. But there's not really a hole for the New York Yankees other than them getting in their own way, whether it's a Judge injury, whether it's not having anyone to now step in because of Gerrit Cole. Obviously, we've got Luis Gil coming in right now. Luke Weaver is potentially on the way. Clayton Beter made the opening day roster. I think he's going to be in the bullpen. We'll see what happens there. If it's a long man, maybe a starter down the line. And as you just said, other than Spencer Jones, because I don't think he's going anywhere, There's a lot of pieces that if something were to arise, and I don't know who the trade deadline chip is, but there always seems to be someone out of nowhere that's available. Don't take Pete Alonso, I will kill you. But there's going to be someone out there that's like, wow, this guy's available on a team that we didn't expect. Like if the Tigers stink again this year, maybe Tarek Skubal's out there. Maybe if the Red Sox, I don't think the Red Sox are going to make a trade, but maybe the Marlins are going to finally trade Jesus Luzardo or someone like that, as you're saying. Yankees have the pieces, get it done, make it happen, ring number 28, as much as it's interesting for me to say that and jump on.
You would be punching the air. Oh, it would be so magical.
But that's what I'm thinking for the Yankees this year. But Henry, I know you had a couple other questions to wrap up.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, John Boy just had a Blitzball Battle 4, which was a huge success, and it was wildly entertaining. But if you want to give the listeners a little preview, obviously, you don't have to dig too deep into what's upcoming for on the John Boy side. But if you want to give us a brief outlook on for pre-opening day, what's the next 9 months or so of, like, what's the next season of John Boy looking like?
I know one thing that I don't know how much I can go too specific into the details on this, but the big meeting about it today, and we're talking about it on board, is that we really want to take our like short form content to the next level, because I think a lot of our long form content, like at this point, talking to Yanks is big enough, thank God, that like if you're a Yankees fan and you're interested in listening to podcasts, you've checked us out
You're
and you either
listening.
like
You're
us or you
listening to
don't
us.
like us. Yeah. And like, thank God, a lot of people really do like us, and that's why it's gotten so big to where it is. And a lot of our other shows are there getting to that point too, that it's like, hey, it's established enough, and like they have the base that they have, and we would love to grow more, but there is a certain point where it does kind of plateau a tiny bit. But short form content is really, especially on YouTube, is just like what's driving subscribers and views and everything right now. And that's something that we very much want to tackle. Like a lot of my job is cutting up podcast clips and stuff like that. And that's part of it. But I know we also want to do more like content around the office and like throwback content, games highlights. So I know that's something that we like really, really, really want to emphasize this year. But other than that, yeah, like listen, people know what they can expect of us at this point, which is a ton of work on our end, but we are like more than happy to do it because we believe in it, we enjoy it. And we hope that the Yankees are going to make it worth our while this year.
No, absolutely. I love it. We always love checking out all the John Boy content and love having all the John Boy guys on the Side Retired as well. But to wrap things up here, this has been the chain that we've been working on for past couple months or so. But at the end of episodes, we always like to give our guests the opportunity to keep the show
Oh,
going
yeah.
and shout out someone to go on the next episode of the show. So the floor is once again yours. It's come back to you if you'd like to shout out another person to
Ooh,
join us again.
I forgot about, or I remembered this and I was like, oh yeah, I have to think of someone to nominate. And then I didn't do that. So I am going to quickly. You know what? You guys haven't had BBD on, right?
We have not.
Let's go with BBD. BBD is absolutely awesome. He is just as chill and cool as you would
Yes.
think he would be in real life. He is, I know I gave this caveat with Javi. Caveat with Javi, nice man. I gave this caveat with Jolly last time. BBD is an incredibly, incredibly busy man, so I don't want to put him on the spot and be like, hey, go do my ghost show, my guy's show when the season starts tomorrow and it's literally the busiest stretch of the year for you. But I would love for BBD to come on your guys' show at some.
I love it. Absolutely. Henry's face is lit up right now. I think Henry's excited for that one,
Yeah.
but
Yeah, so that was a serious fist bump.
well, we've had a blast talking to you as always. It's always fun catching up, talking Yankees baseball. Looking forward to having you back on again in the future. Hopefully celebrating ring number 28 again in the future real soon. Maybe we have some Side Retired trivia cooking up in the background too. We'll see if that event happens in the near
Ooh,
future as
okay.
well. But for Dylan, Henry, and Max, thanks so much for joining us again on the podcast.
You guys are crushing it. Thanks as always for having me.
Absolutely. So for Dylan, Henry, and Max, until the next time, the side is retired.